Polyglot, or the Poetry of Words, written by Mael Gilon, read by Erjan Hussein. Mr. Garcia Hernandez was born with a singular gift of being a polyglot, as a result of which he mastered an inconceivable number of languages, as though an angel had come down from heaven to spare him the arduous task of learning. Under the perplexed gaze of the doctors, the baby gesticulated vigorously in the arms of the nurse, screaming endless sentences in dialects which were unknown even to the most knowledgeable individuals. For him, there was nothing more musical and poetic than a language. Words were put together, came to life, and passed melodically before his eyes, as if they formed a mosaic of harmonious colors and tones which made sense of life. Thus it was that he was given the name Polyglot. The news spread rapidly in the lonely village of Salamanda. Every day, the inhabitants came to his house by the dozen, their hands full of presents and precious ornaments which they put around the cradle, and listened with religious attention to the newborn while he gave a monologue in Kalo. Of course, the people did not understand what he was uttering, and it was a cryptic language, but he aroused such fascination and curiosity that no one paid the slightest attention to what his speech meant. Indeed, how could such a young boy contain such a remarkable knowledge of languages? The mystery remained unsolved until a doctor from the provinces came to unravel Polyglot's enigmatic learning. He opened his bag full of strange instruments and examined him attentively for 45 minutes before announcing the diagnosis to his parents. I'm going to be frank with you. Polyglot suffers from an inexplicable and extremely serious disease. If it wasn't for my fees, I would charge you with sorcery. The verdict of the doctor rationalized the magic of his talent, and Polyglot became a mere object of scientific interest, misunderstood and marginalized by the village. When he reached the age of reason, the child prodigy left aside his multilingual monologues to dedicate himself entirely to nature. Intrigued by the forest which surrounded the village, he meticulously scrutinized the bark of the trees with his hands until he reached the visible part of the roots, and then lay on the ground, his ears close to the damp leaves, as if he could perceive distant voices which came from the bowels of the earth. His strange attitude worried his parents, who attempted in vain to communicate with him, but Polyglot kept distancing himself from others. The further he ventured into the depths of the forest, the more perceptible the voices became, and they were accompanied by colourful threads of words, which meandered in the earth and wrapped themselves around the roots of the trees. Then he realized that the voices belonged to the conversations of many different cultures, and he noted that he had never heard such a linguistic richness as this, which seemed all to come from the same place. Bathed in the joy of colors, the elements of nature gradually merged with a melody of languages. A path was being forged harmoniously before his feet, and Polyglot let himself be carried along by this enchanting power of words, whose germination was to reach its climax in the environment of London. The multiculturalism which emanated from London replaced the isolation from which he had suffered during his childhood. Its appearance reflected an heterogeneous constellation of different nationalities, identities, and beliefs. It seemed a mosaic of effervescent cultures into which millions of words swarmed from everywhere. The poetry which reigned in the city contributed to a sense of spiritual well-being. Polyglot sat on a bench, closed his eyes, and let himself be immersed in the deafening noise of the streets, in which he perceived a myriad of thoughts which blossomed, causing words to emerge and amalgamate to form conversations. With the patience of a humanist and the enthusiasm of an ethnologist, he ventured into ethnic communities which were filled with an astonishing cultural diversity, so that he could soak up their traditions and wander in the picturesque scenes of their everyday life. There was someone selling old books in Papiamento, damaged by time, which were still awaiting a curious buyer. There was a stall full of spices and exotic fruits and strange fishes which released multicolored odors. There was a man dressed in green holding dozens of rugs with Persian motifs, ochre lanterns and Egyptian artifacts. There was a group of gypsy musicians playing and singing strains of jazz a la Django Reinhardt. There was a mountain of tin plate kitchen utensils clattering in tune with the hubbub of the crowd, and there were endless African clothes lying in the street. People thronged in all directions, gathered around the buyers and exchanged words with approximate gestures. It was a visual and sonorous portrait of the cultural diversity of London, whose traditions and diverse values simultaneously stimulated the five senses. But as time went by, Polyglot had the strange feeling that behind London's cultural diversity there lay hidden a deeper social malaise, symptomatic of an exacerbated multiculturalism, as if the ethnic communities remained isolated from society. Sometimes he perceived wandering words which floated in the air with no specific aim, monotonous words which did not leave any colour or melodic tone as they passed, and fleeting words which vanished as soon as they had appeared. Paradoxical though it seemed, the diversity of London had strengthened the fundamental need of cultures to differentiate themselves from one another and preserve their values at all costs. It had become a corrosive force, ingrained in patriotic feelings and racial prejudices, which was capable of undermining social cohesion and contributing even more to the marginalization of ethnic minorities. It was not a cultural harmony that prevailed, but rather a state of incessant tension which encouraged discrimination and rejection. What had seemed a lively mosaic of colors gradually came to represent a fragmented society into which cultures withdrew. Polyglot buried himself in the melancholy and disillusion of an ephemeral ideal. The days passed until nature reawakened one morning in spring. As the flowers and trees came back to life, Polyglot was filled with optimism. He started to ponder on the nature of his existence, on his mysterious gift for languages and how the poetry of words had brought him to this place. He rejected the idea of seeing a conglomerate of different cultures disintegrating before his eyes, because he depended upon this richness and needed to nourish himself with all its values and knowledge. Polyglot was undergoing a metamorphosis, freeing himself from the shell in which he had always been encased. He did not want to see the linguistic reality of London from a passive point of view in which words would flow unaltered like a ray of sunlight through crystal, but rather seek the emancipation of cultures by fighting against his own body. He wanted to use the poetry of words as a means of expressing thoughts and ideas, with the aim of forging a common destiny and promoting intercultural dialogue. But how does one succeed in conveying messages of tolerance and harmony to different cultures without appearing to give propagandist speeches? Precisely, by teaching people to be passionate about languages, by savoring their colors and musicality, by playing with their changing forms and endless possibilities, by instilling a taste for exoticism, and by showing how they share a number of unifying linguistic features rooted in a collective consciousness. Polyglot embodied the cultural diversity of London and filled its souls with hope and poetry. It was a living example of a multilingual education.